Some of you may have been surprised as you came into this room that no whiff of brimstone came floating down from the head table. Such surprise may be understandable in view of some of the messages that the media have sent out about Mr. McLuhan. But the fact is that he is not a denier and destroyer, but an affirmer and creator, whose message, like that of many teachers before him, has been subject to diverse and contradictory interpretations, both by his supporters and his detractors. In person, if not always in print, Mr. McLuhan is, with the exception of John Kenneth Galbraith, perhaps the most relaxed controversial figure in America today. This may be due in part to their Canadian background. It's my pleasure to present the author of The Gutenberg Galaxy, Understanding Media, and the forthcoming Cliché to Archetype, Mr. Marshall McLuhan.
Before I begin to speak, I'd like to say something. I want Peg Brecker to know that I simply graviate toward anything in skirts. That's for cookbooks. And also, a gal's reach has got to exceed her grasp for what's a metaphor. I'm bringing you a message from the dew line way up north. You built us a fine place up there. Anytime you want to come and occupy it, the whole bunch is welcome. But before I begin to speak, as I say, I want to say something. And let's take into account all available assumptions to begin with. The man who made two X's on his legal form was then asked by the lawyer, why two? He said, well, one is for my name and one is for my PhD. You can see what's ahead of you. There, speaking of cooking, there was a gourmet from Virginia who went to Boston, and the first thing he said to the cabbie was, take me where I can get scrod. Now, Boston scrod is famous. But the cabbie didn't get the message, and he turned around and he said, you know, I haven't heard the pluperfect subjunctive in many years. Actually, true stories are far funnier than anything that's been concocted by a jokesmith, and this happened to me. Last year, I was coming back from Vancouver, and I landed at Kennedy Airport and was met by the narcotics division. And they said to me, do you know Tim O'Leary? And I said, I do. Well, where is it? Where's the LLD? I said, it's in my bag. Open it. They examined my LLD and they said, you were heard on the plane to say that you had gone to Vancouver to pick up an LLD. Where is it? They didn't know the difference. You may have heard of the reporter who was sent out to get a cross-section of popular opinion on big subjects like LSD. And his first customer or interlocutor was asked, what do you think of LSD? Well, he said, I know some hate his guts, but I think he's the greatest president we ever had. Uh-huh. And what do you think of marijuana? Well, as for marijuana, my wife and I spent a week there last year, and it's terrific. Uh-huh. And what about the Vietnam position? Well, it's okay by me, but it gives my wife hiccups. Now, you see, away up in the land of the dew line, where we have no personality, no national identity, and no commitments, and no involvements, humor reigns supreme. Humor is grievance. I heard Peg saying something about to that effect. We have many grievance jokes up there, mainly related to bilingualism and the problems of French Canada. However, there's recently a new flock of grievance jokes coming from Newfoundland because there's a new interface or irritation area in Newfoundland because the fishermen have begun to move into the cities and create irritation. You know, yokels moving into the city. And so there's great floods of Newfie jokes, like the great scientific breakthrough in Newfoundland, the first hernia transplant. It's like that the chap who overcame this problem by practicing so hard that his hernia became his strongest organ. I have a friend by the name of Professor Burgers at the University of Montreal, and he was standing at a lectern somewhat like this, incredibly complicated and useless for all human purposes. And he said, he laid down his script, looked around for the lectern light, pressed a button, and the thing shot down below the stage, and he disappeared with it. Strike the set. The chairman sprang to his feet and said, "Our speaker needs no introduction. He's gone." It's only a few days till they invent something for the audience to match that one. The speaker will remain and you will be gone. Dr. Gross and I were having a ball during lunch talking about things like Nearpoint and speed reading and the effect they have upon the publishing industry. I suppose you all have research men working on the effects of Nearpoint resulting from television. The average reading distance of the grade 2 child at the present time is 4.6 inches from the page. The printed page which you provide for school children is useless for the TV child. The TV child is a cyclops. He only uses one eye. He's a hunter. He is not a reader. But the near-point child, all TV children read at 4.6 inches from the page, and you have not put a single researcher on this subject. Another little area that we were investigating during lunch was speed reading, which calls for a total revolution in the printing process. However, let's get back to humor. Dr. Dolbear and I were discussing the joys of nomenclature. I received a book the other day from Mr. Harold Stammer called Speak That I May See Thee. Mr. Harold Stammer was the author. I received another book from Russell Erb called The Common Sense of Smell. It's delightful. It's full of such items as this. If you spray a lion, an African lion, with catnip, it'll die of convulsions. Which reminds me that I was a next-door neighbor of Jack Parr last year in Bronxville, and we had a lot of fun discovering why humorists hate jokes. I couldn't help telling him funny stories. The only one I got him to laugh at all year was this one. Some of my best friends are Jesuits, but wouldn't want my daughter to marry one. Now, Jack Parr is a staunch Presbyterian. He thought that was funny. Now, it's a daily threat that some Jesuit may marry your daughter. Vatican II is, I think, inferior to Vat 69 myself. But Dr. Dolbear and I were talking about labels, and there is a famous book on chemical solutions. I collect these strange titles and names. By W.C. Dampier Wetham, who lives at Upwater Lodge, Cambridge, England. The world authority on chemical solutions is W.C., and you know what that is, Dampier Wetham. And Dr. Gross told me he has a cousin called Dampier Wetham Bottom. Do you know what diaper spelled backwards is? Just try it. It means repaid with interest. One of the most amusing things that ever happened to me was recently. I was at the YPO, Young President's Organization, in Puerto Rico. And I heard the scamper of little feet up the stairs behind me and a voice screaming, "Marcia McLuhan, I am your fan." And she flung herself into my arms. She said, "I am Ann Landers." I understand she has a twin sister who looks just like her. Well, as I said, before I begin to speak, I wanted to say something. I guess I've said it. But I live on a pond in Wychwood Park.